for coming on with us. And your last name is Arugio?
It's Arugio, yes.
Okay, I want to make sure. All right.
No worries.
We're going to be, okay, great. And we're going to be taping this, and it'll probably be either tomorrow or Monday when we get it on. It's kind of crazy with the holiday weekend.
You got it. No worries.
All right, thank you so much. All right, here we go. You're listening to The Morning Drive with Doug Kelly here on Talk Radio 50. I'm Dave Richmond, and right now with us, we have an interesting topic, and we have as the ultimate topic is mom who smacks riding a son, a hero. We saw the mom from Baltimore recently a few weeks ago. And with us right now, Yvette Arugio. She's with us to talk about that very topic. Thank you so much for coming on with us this morning.
Thank you, Dave. It's great to be here. Thank you for the invite on the show, and happy Memorial Day weekend to all of our active and our retired military out there.
Absolutely. I know that you're a therapist, right? I wanted to ask you that very thing when it comes to riding and when it comes to the 16-year-old son. I want to get your thoughts on that with the lady who was there from Baltimore, who you said was a hero.
Well, first and foremost, the term hero and then saying the lady in the media, let's give her a face and let's give her a name. Her name is Toya Graham and her son is Michael. Okay. And so my take on the first 24 of this is, where were those cameras 24 hours prior to the rioting, and where are those cameras now? That woman will remain who she was before she got national attention and international attention, and she's that way now. She is a woman who, yes, is single. She was labeled everything except for being a mom that saw her son on the telly, on the television, seeing his shorts, seeing his shoes, and she went out to save her son. She didn't go out looking for cameras. She didn't go out looking for a reality TV show deal. She went out to save her son. So on that particular Mother's Day, her and her five other children, which are her other five are daughters, would be celebrating a Mother's Day at her dinner table and not making arrangements for a possible funeral for her only son, or possibly, you know, trying to make arrangements to get an attorney to get him out of, you know, jail or lockup because of something heinous that he took upon himself to do. This is a woman who, you know, has many children, and she keeps her eye and she keeps a tight rein, and she's trying to do the right thing. So it was more than just slapping that child or grabbing him and pulling him out there. She was also making a stand in that community. She was saving her community, and she didn't want to be part of the problem, but be part of the solution, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I felt like that she was definitely taking a stand. If that was my son or daughter, and I saw them on TV, I would have done the same thing. She was probably generous. She was probably good to her son. Or I'd probably be locked up myself for if I saw that very thing. So I thought she was definitely, when I thought of hero, I thought about her, that very thing. She didn't know the cameras were on her. It was not like she was, you were right about that. It's not like she was trying to be in the spotlight. We have so many people in our society that want to be in the spotlight. She wasn't trying to do that. She was just trying to do the right thing for what was best for her son and her family, right?
She really did. And, you know, I think it smacked the reality where this kid was concerned, because, you know, when he was interviewed, they said, you know, well, why did you go down there in the first place? Your mom had said this, you know, you saw that things were starting to get to a feverish pitch. And he said, well, I wanted to go down there because my friends had been profiled before. And, you know, some of my friends are in lockup. And so I wasn't going to let, you know, the police take them down. They weren't going to go down like that. So I wanted to get out there, you know, and that was, you know, not only that wasn't just a physical smack, but it was also a smack of reality to this kid that, you know, whomever you're being influenced by, whoever is whispering in your ear, it will never be stronger than what I'm going to whisper in your ear, and that's life, and I want you here. And you can't fight for causes that you know nothing of. These are, you know, how do you know that your friends were not down there terrorizing, you know, storefronts and doing all these different things? You don't know the full story. You just know what your friends tell you. And so he was being highly influenced by that. So he thought he was, you know, going down there and being a freedom fighter, and she went down there to save him and say, look, you have no, you know not what of you speak at all, and what you're about to do, you're about to alter the course of your life forever, and ours, all around. So again, you know, I don't even think Toya wants the word hero. She was just doing what a mother would do, what I would do. And if that's a hero, then we have those all day, every day, and they're just not on camera. You know,
right.
She just happened to get caught on camera that particular time, you know?
Yeah, on our show, we talk a lot about race. I wanted to ask you a question. Is there any difference in the way white people and black people perceive what she did?
I absolutely think there is, and I'm glad that you did touch on that, because there is a cultural difference, but also we're in a different time age. I know when I came to this country and we lived in a very diverse neighborhood where our neighbors were Poles and Italians and Germans, and we had the Jewish community, and I mean, you know, one wrong word coming out of your mouth, you know, you got the back of your hand kind of thing. And so it can be a cultural thing. I think in the Anglo society here in the States, you know, it's more politically correct, and you have people watching over your shoulder, that you try to be more of a friend to your children, or you try to take the, you know, the easy way around and speak to them. I don't know if, you know, I think what people, you know, what is abuse? You know, David, quite frankly, what is abuse? You know, is abuse going in and saving your child from being killed, or doing something that will alter his life forever? Or is abuse, you know, something that people are not speaking about? It's in a house in a depressed neighborhood, and nobody cares to listen to the cries of the three-year-old. They're just like, shut that kid up. But meanwhile, there's a drunken father or a drunken boyfriend or a mother that's not doing her job that has watched her, you know, toddler fall down the stairs or slaps him unnecessarily. What about those? Those are the hard cases that we need to be looking at, not at a woman who, you know, had no means, but just to go in and save her son by any means necessary. And if that meant a slap to the head, a slap to the, you know, arm to pull him out of there, that's what she did. You know, she was on the front lines. As parents, we are on the front lines to try to instill a moral compass, a moral core with our children. And then when we send them out to school, all we can do is pray that they're not highly influenced by, you know, the negative, you know, static that's out there.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that's how I feel like it. Even though I didn't do as my parents always taught me to do, the values that they taught me, and my grandparents played a huge role in my life as well. Some of these kids don't even have one parent, much less having two.
Absolutely.
And I think you're exactly right about that.
Absolutely. And I think that if nothing more, she serves as a role model. I mean, you know, the role models of the world are not taking their clothes off and sending it virally, or trying to get a reality show out of a deal, or, you know, drinking with your children, saying, well, you know, and using the overused and very tired excuse, well, I'd rather them, you know, do this with me than to go out there and get it from someplace else. It's like, you know, why are you even doing it? You know, I don't get that. So why are we not being better role models for our children? Why do they have to seek it someplace else? Why aren't the uncles, and like you said, grandparents, they play a major role. They're from a different era, a different time, a simpler time, a time where, you know, there was more of a moral compass in the world. And, you know, our children need to be, you know, I think, infused with that as well. You know, and so I think that's where our role models come into play. And I think Toya Graham exhibited that on that day, of being a role model. And it's unfortunate that, you know, it got skewed into something else to, you know, she was looking for 15 minutes of fame. You know, they've taken her image. I've seen it on tabloids now. I've seen it on different magazines at the shopping centers. And, you know,
yeah,
at the end of the day, you know, David, she's back at home. She's back at home raising those six children. Where are the cameras? Where are the cameras now? You know?
I wanted to ask you, what is your overall perception of what's happening in Baltimore?
I just think the camera should have been more focused on the community and how it's going to pull itself together. There's been so many gracious stories that I see little snippets on, but the camera, CNN, the Foxes of the world, and, you know, all the grandiose networks are not there watching a community pull itself back together so they won't be a stain, you know, in the States of being, you know, a hardcore community where nobody cares, because there's a lot of people that came to that community with their small business, and large corporations, CVS, and a lot of different storefronts to rebuild the community and to you know, solidify the people there. And I think that's what we should be concentrating on. As far as Baltimore is concerned, is making sure that race relations are mending, and that we don't see it as a racial incident, that we see it as someone brutally, that something egregious happened, and it just so happened that one was one of one culture and one was of another, and that's what we should see. It was a human atrocity that happened. And it's unfortunate that it always, you know, seems to parlay itself into some type of racial disarmament.
It's a great way to divide our country, for sure. Yvette Arugio, she is a therapist, and I want to give a plug for your books, too. You have The Loathing Origin, and you've got a soon-to-be-released book. Is that how do you pronounce that, your new book?
It's called Androgyny. It's the series of 12, and you can find them at fallenthebookseries.com or Amazon. And I am looking forward to releasing the third in the series, which you said was Androgyny, this summer, 2015. And it's a good read. I think you would appreciate it. It's really great. Thank you for that.
Yvette Arugio, thank you so much. I love your perspective on this, and we are in a definite agreement on this. Appreciate it very much, and love to have you back on soon.
Oh, David, thank you so much. And again, happy Memorial Day, and I wish you well. And thank you again so much for having me on your show.
Absolutely. Anytime. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.